Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
We're having the issues of why am I not writing or why am I not selling? And if you haven't heard the first episodes of this series, please do go back and listen to those. I think that they would be worth taking a look at, especially because they form the foundation for why are these things happening? And the question we're going to answer today is, why am I not selling? And specifically, I want to look at the expectations that we have around how selling should happen. What is it that I'm expecting to happen that is not happening? And therefore, I'm not meeting my expectation somehow. So I'm seeing, I set this expectation here. It's not happening. I'm actually here. And there's something wrong with this picture. And sometimes what we actually need to do is to readjust our expectations of what should happen, different than what can happen. And it's very important to me to make a distinguishing remark between what can happen and what should happen. When I assume, if I press the gas pedal, then I should go faster. I make that assumption every single time I drive. When I press the brake, I should slow down or decrease in speed. That should be happening. It's the way the car was designed to work. And therefore, when I get inside the car and I make those decisions as a driver, I press the gas pedal, I press the brake, I turn the wheel, right? Like when I do those things, the car was designed that way. And therefore, they should work. So when they don't, that is actually a problem. You should have your car looked at. But we have an expectation that books should sell. Not just that books, my books in particular should sell, but that books in general should sell. That is the natural state of books, in the same way that a natural state of a car, because it's designed that way, is for me to get inside the car and start driving and have the car go faster when I press on the accelerator. That is a cause and effect. It should be happening. There's a difference between releasing a book and that book should sell. We have to question that premise versus I get in the car and press the gas pedal. Or for some of us, I work hard and therefore the result of that work should be shown in my author platform, that somehow there's an equal reaction between what I do and what should happen. Part of the reason we have to disconnect that is because we are building our expectations on faulty assumptions. We have a false equivalency between what I do and what should happen, because we believe, even if it's just subconsciously, that the natural state of the market is for all books to sell or for all good books to sell. And that's just not the natural state of the market. What we see is that most books don't sell. And depending on whose numbers you trust, which I do think there's some variability here for a reason, and is based on the formula that everyone uses, but somewhere between 92 and 97% of books do not sell. Do not. Not just, it's hard for me to explain the relationship between these two things. It's not just that they don't sell, but that they shouldn't sell, because the market is what determines whether they sell or not. Not my hard work, not my cover, not my whatever. The way readers respond to the book is what determines whether the book should sell or not. And when it doesn't sell, there's something wrong with it. And granted, we can go through and figure out, is it the packaging? Is it the advertising strategy? Is it the lack of advertising strategy? It's possible that none of those are the problem also, but why am I not selling? Sometimes the answer is because you shouldn't be selling. not you in particular. We're not punishing you, not your book in particular, but just that the market determines that most products do not meet the market. And why that happens has a huge amount of variability. And we're going to get into some of that in later episodes in this series. But specifically, what I want to talk about today is the assumption that this should be happening. Because what we're doing is that we're expecting that if I put this work in, if I release these books, then that means they should sell, not they can sell. What I want is for us to change the should to can. Because if we say can sell, then we don't assume that time travel happens. And I'll explain that in a second. But if we expect that they should sell, then we expect that time travel happens. And then we completely can deconstruct our productivity and our decision-making process. And so what I want to talk about are the instances in which we are either living in the magical past or the magical future, depending on which side we trend toward, the magical past or the magical future. So we're either catastrophizing, negative catastrophizing, based on data that doesn't actually say that, or we are wishing that the past still existed. So this is what I mean by assuming time travel. And again, if you've read Dear Writer, You're Doing It Right, you know that I go into more detail about this specifically in the book and use other metaphors, but I want to just talk about this concept for a second. So when I assume time travel, what I'm doing is I'm either wishing I wish for the time in 2012 and 2014, even if I'm not doing it consciously, I'm getting frustrated by the fact that my books aren't selling the way that they used to, because I'm assuming that we're living in the same market on some level than we are. I want us to be living in the 2012, 2013, 2011, 2014 market, pre-Kindle Unlimited, you know, pre-saturation, indie saturation, et cetera. When I'm wishing for the magical past, I'm doing things like, why isn't this selling the way that it used to be? And not, instead of answering the question, I'm just continuing to circle and circle and circle and circle around that question. Because what Becca wants to do is to say, the market's different, Kindle Unlimited, saturation, the pay-to-play advertising strategy. So all of those things are why your book is not selling the way that it used to. All of those things are the reason why the market is different. And it affects different writers to varying degrees. Some writers, it's literally changed their entire platform. Some writers have such an organic platform that it hasn't done a lot to change how much they sell. It's just lowered their maybe top line a little bit. And then for some people, it's exploded their top line, right? So that type of difference is unpredictable, and it won't even happen to the same person in the same way. And again, this is because the multitude of variables that are possibly present for why you are or are not selling are so vast. It is not just the cover or just the blurb or just the advertising. Sometimes it's literally, there was a political movement in Lebanon and it's completely changed the way that everyone's looking at the news for a while. And now we are all bearing the ramifications, right? We're all aware now of things like the pandemic and how that can have an effect every time there's a wave or a difference, every time there's a discussion about masks, every time there's a whatever, like every time those things happen, they can potentially have an influence on the market, on how things sell. And we don't honestly give enough credence to the idea that there are a million factors out of our control, because we're always looking for the ones that we can control in terms of why. So we're looking at the why does it not sell? Why am I not selling the way that I used to? And we're looking for something we can do about it. And sometimes there's nothing we can do about it. And so when we're living in this magical past where there were unicorns and magic dust and everyone just made $1 million, and that's not happening anymore. And so the more we hold on to that, the less we're going to be able to adapt to the current reality. It's the same way that any industry that changes where they outsource things or the method of the delivery changes, all of the people who were primarily making a living doing those things in the past now have to adapt. And it's not something they chose. They didn't get to choose that. And I think it's so important as writers to understand the overlap between the bubble theory in other industries in terms of how it affects you. There's always going to be people that are influenced by the way industries change in a way that they do not choose. They don't get to choose that. And so just understanding that that happens and being willing to pivot more quickly, because I recognize that I'm not able to do anything about the factors, that's important. Because it isn't always, I should be writing a different genre. I should be changing my covers. I should be advertising. Sometimes it literally is, write the next book and stop worrying about it. Write the next series and stop worrying about it. Don't stop living in the past. The answers to why are so complicated that we're not able to narrow them down to one thing. So if all you're looking for is the why, we need to acknowledge that the why might be out of our control. We might have to answer that question with, because market, because industry, because Amazon, because whatever, and then allow ourselves to move forward with the new set of data. So that's one side of the assuming time travel. So what I mean by assuming time travel is when I get frustrated or stuck with not selling in the moment, I am having expectations about what's going on that assumes something has happened that hasn't happened. So when I continue to spiral around why is this happening and not answering the question and not finding an answer that is sufficient, I'm ignoring the answer that is the reality, which is that you can't assume the rules are the same today as they were 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 7 years ago, 2 years ago. You can't assume that, because the rules have changed on you. And that's a big part of why, if you can't find an easy answer about why you're not selling anymore, you know, et cetera, then the reason is that you can't assume that the rules shouldn't have changed, because that's what you're assuming. You're expecting to be able to live in the past still. There's a part of your brain that's expecting that. And it's why you're circling around and not able to land on something, because you just are not willing to accept that it's possible. And again, it's internal. Almost all of this is subconscious or unconscious. It's not like you're sitting here crossing your arms and saying, I wish it was still 2012, although some of us do that. Like those of us who published in 2013, 2012, 2011, all of us, I would assume, have at one point or another said out loud, I wish it was still 2012, just because it was so much easier back in the day when everything was organic and when it was the gold rush, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the gold rush is over, but the good news about the gold rush being over is, unlike the actual gold rush, where the gold rush was over because the resource was gone, the resource is not gone in this case. That's not what has happened. The rush is over because it's no longer the Wild West. It's now the established territory. There are now rules and there are now people who are making money off of things other than books, right? Like there's all that stuff that's happening. So it's an established industry. We're no longer in the gold rush, but that doesn't mean that you've missed anything. We did miss those days, but you can still have plenty of success. But again, the difference is can and should. I should be able to have more success when the market is wider open, when there is less competition. Yes, absolutely. There were several of us who understand that very potently. I should be able to have more success when the market is less full than it is now. But you can still have plenty of success. So again, the difference between can and should is about how do we react when things don't go the way we want it to go. If I push on the gas pedal and it does not move my car, something's wrong with my car. If I release a book and it doesn't sell, that doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with the book, wrong with the packaging, wrong with the strategy. It literally just might be a result of something else happening in the world, some other book or books or you know, phenomenon happening in the middle, you know, the TikTok phenomenon that happened recently with Ruby Dixon, right? Like that was something none of us could have predicted. None of us saw coming. No one understood. Well, I'm not saying no one, but very few people, and couldn't replicate. And so when all of that was happening, it shifted the market attention, right? Especially in that arena. So that changes the way that books sell. And sometimes that can have ramifications for long periods of time. So you can't always assume linear predictions. And again, that's one of the things, the false assumptions that we make, is that we assume there's a cause and effect for everything. And while there is a cause and effect, you can't always see it. Sometimes the cause is 6 and 7 steps removed from you, and you're never going to know what it was. So again, the super key part of this is that we have to deconstruct that part of us. If we are the magical past person, we have to deconstruct that part of us that keeps trying to go back and interpret today's data based on a different set of data. The other part of assuming time travel is that we catastrophize what's happening today and assume that it's always going to happen this way. So if my books are not selling, then I catastrophize forward into the future and say, now my books are never going to sell. What am I even doing? And that is almost always evidence of the fact that we are time traveling forward into a place where there's so much uncertainty that we can't handle the uncertainty. So what we want to do in that is we want to deconstruct the power that that uncertainty has over us, because as long as that uncertainty has power over us, we are always going to time travel into the future where, because I didn't sell today and that doesn't fit the pattern of what I've seen in the past, now that means that I am washed up and finished and never going to ever be able to do anything again. That's so rarely the case. I'm not even sure that I've ever seen that really happen in terms of like that the catastrophe would happen and then they wouldn't be able to recover from it. Because of course, the other piece is what got you here will get you there. So if you've been successful in the past, it's more likely you'll be able to find another way to be successful again. But in the moment when we're assuming time travel, it happens so quickly that we often don't see that we're doing that. The example that I use in the book about plateauing and weight loss is the assumption that it should be happening in a different way, that today's data means something very significant to the future and that it shouldn't be happening this way. As opposed to if you anticipate that there's going to be ups and downs in a career, there might be downs that last for years in a career and still there would be ups on the other side of it, right? There might be no success, and then takeoff success. Like you just don't know what the future is going to look like. So as you time travel into that catastrophized future, you actually end up short-circuiting the ability to have resilience in the moment. And this is not about don't move to the future. That, you know, we're strengths people here. We talk about futuristic. We know that you're going to move into the future and that that's not a bad thing. What we want to try to keep doing is invalidating every piece of context that lays behind us, invalidating the fact that I have moved up, right? Invalidating the fact that I've always been able to find success in the past, invalidating the fact that I'm a talented writer, invalidating all the hard work because I assume somehow that it all was a fluke or whatever, right? Like that's the imposter syndrome style of the future catastrophizing. There are others, but that particular piece is, I guess everybody found out now, but it's just so unlikely that that trajectory is going to go in a down way forever, especially because as you are moving down, you're more aware of the things that you could be doing better. And this is the whole mentality. I'm going to talk about this on the Patreon a little bit this week. I read a book in response to someone's suggestion called Profit First. And it was an amazing, amazing book. Definitely an example of a QTP book, which I love, of course, like you know me in QTP. But the whole concept of this was When you have these patterns of how you deal with your profit and your business, they have an impact. And when you shift your thinking, it totally changes the action that you take. And so, and again, I'll talk more about this on the Patreon, but I do think that it's important when we're thinking about the catastrophized future to always question the premise of how quickly we go to the catastrophic and ignore all of the success that we've had in the past, because there's some kind of a stability that we're lacking in that moment. Either I'm not able to self-produce stability, or all of my stability is related to whether or not I will be successful in the future, including my identity. So there's a difference between, am I going to be able to pay my bills, which is a very different question, from am I going to be an okay person? We want to make sure that I'm an okay person. And the change in the mindset that was so fascinating to me about the profit first mentality is the creativity that comes with having less available, like to spend on your business expenses. That blew my mind. And I can't wait to think more and talk more about that, because I just love that concept. But essentially, if my sales are going down right now, is it possible first that it's a pattern that has no relevance in terms of, is it just a pattern that's going to self-correct at some point? Because if any of you have been either running ads or running a business for longer than, I don't know, 2 years, you know that there are patterns of where I go down, I go down, I go up, I go down, I go up. But if I look at the down and catastrophize too far in the future, it's going to sometimes make me make choices that will make me not have the same success. Because if I decide to like start writing in a new genre, because I'm so afraid that this genre is dead, and then all of a sudden I find that and all my readers have abandoned me because I'm not writing in that genre anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Just as one example, or abandon a long selling trusted series for a new series, just to see if I can catch a reader's interest. Like, these are all decisions that I would be very careful about how I make those choices, because sometimes the response to data is actually too close. We're too close to the data to be able to actually see the patterns. We think we're seeing patterns, but we're actually just seeing data points and making connections. And we really need to back off and look. And if I look at the way that the pattern of my sales go, do they continue to go up and down and up and down and up and down? Most people do, right? Like, that's just how most businesses work. And usually when you see a downtrend, it's because you made a particular decision. Like, we've passed the capacity where I'm outspending my profit margin or something like that, right? So, but anyway, the important piece about this is to question the premise of either the magical past or the catastrophized future, specifically because we are so often making those decisions based on either incomplete or extrapolated data. And extrapolated data can be a dangerous place to be sometimes when it comes to making decisions, because this is not a car. This industry, your writing career is not a car. You can't just press the gas all the time and expect it to move forward. Sometimes it wiggles or shifts. Sometimes it coughs or sputters. And then sometimes it works. And those are rarely predictable, right? This industry is so much more like a lottery system than it is like any other business, because it doesn't always produce the same effect, no matter what happens. You can write a good book, it can have a good cover and a good blurb, but it can still not release and the reasons for that can be myriad. And the reason I say this is not to say don't still do our best to make good packaging, et cetera, et cetera. The reason I say this is specifically to deconstruct that expectation that if I can just figure out why this happened in the past, that I can somehow prevent it from happening again in the future. That's magical thinking. And then again, if I am extrapolating forward into the future in a catastrophic way, that somehow that's beneficial for my decision-making process and it's going to make me make smarter choices. And I actually think what it usually does, just from a coaching perspective, is it usually freezes us and makes us not able to make decisions. So we want to do as much as we can to create stability in the moment and to remind ourselves of what we've done in the past and that it is possible for us to replicate that again and that we're going to be okay and that we're competent people, right? Like that's such an important part of that catastrophized future question, the premise. So thank you all for being here today and talking about this with me. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive discussion of why I'm not selling. We're going to continue to talk about this as we move forward in this series. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here today. We will see you next time on the Quickcast. Bye.